Did we find the mongoose, and is he on YouTube?
There he is.
He seems angry, or perhaps reserved. Are you sitting in front of a map today, Brian?
Yeah, I didn't go with the library backdrop today because, well, for reasons. But yeah, I got a map behind me and pins on the places that I've been. Oh.
Tell us about that, please, before we get into Tomlin. Where have you been? What's the most unusual? Look at that. What's the most unusual place you've been, and do you have a goal of getting to a certain place or 10?
No goals. There shouldn't be one on Algeria. I don't know what happened there. I've never been. I'd like to do a little more international travel, clearly. This job and covering Pitt previously has taken me through a decent amount of the U.S. I did think about this, though, going to Baltimore yesterday for the whatever seventh time, you know, on the beat. Like, I'd like to try to see every NFL stadium while I'm doing this job. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be. That'd be great. Would you like to
take a trip? One next year.
I want to take a trip in honor of my dad to the Santiago de Compostela. It's a trail. I think it's like 500 miles. It goes from France all the way through Spain, I believe. Woman on the plane was telling me about this that I met randomly going on a college visit with my daughter recently. Then my dad passed, and then the story is that he took me on that trail a long time ago, but only for a very tiny portion of it. And I think that he wanted to go back. So I want to go back and walk the thing in his honor. And she said it took her 45 days. I don't know if I can make the whole thing, Brian, but that'd be great. If you could come with me and do a little portion of the trail, we could do that. Visit France, visit Spain.
Well, you better start getting back out there to pick up hoops with us so that you can get in the proper shape to make that lengthy walk, Joe.
I might have to. It's like 15 miles a day. How long would it take you to walk 400 or 500 miles, oh, limitless wonder?
15 miles a day.
Well, yeah,
that's
or
a lot
10.
Of walking.
I know, but that's all you're doing. You wake up, you have breakfast, you walk.
Are your boots made for walking?
I hope so. All right, Brian.
I don't think I could do that. I've never been someone who wants to run a marathon just to see if I can. Like, I just don't really think the human body is meant to do it, but obviously that's why some people enjoy it. They get a rise out of defying the human body.
Well, my daughter-in-law just ran a marathon, and is she a daughter-in-law? Yeah, I guess. Wait a second. Is my nephew? What is my nephew's wife to me?
Your niece.
My niece. She's a niece?
Niece. I mean, niece-in-law, but no one says
a
that.
A niece-in-law. Is that right?
No one
limits?
Says that. Yeah, but nobody says that.
I think they sponsor this show, Niece on Law.
Well, whoever she is, she ran a marathon recently, and I asked her about the training. And she never ran an actual marathon in training for the marathon. Have you heard about that, Brian? You get close and then you actually just do it that day. Is that the way to do it?
I think that is what most people do. You're supposed to, you know, stretch out your runs, but you never go quite to 26.2 because I think the logic there is adrenaline will get you over the hump that you need on the day of the race. You don't want to kill yourself before that. There is a good bit in the show, How I Met Your Mother, where Barney Stinson, the character, is insisting that he can run a marathon without training. And he's like, step one, start running. There is literally no step two. So I like that mentality.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's putting yourself out there. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. What stood out about Tomlin to you today, oh, Batconian mongoose?
I think some of the questions were more entertaining than the answers. I think Tomlin is in it's December mode. I'm keeping it as brief and basic as I possibly can. And we just want to get through this 30-minute endeavor so that I can get back to watching film and apparently not even being aware that Philip Rivers could be returning to the NFL, which I guess I believe him because he's so...
I do believe him, yeah.
He's so laser-focused. However, though, like, there is a TV that you walk past every morning when you get to the Steelers facility, but maybe he just makes a left turn right up the stairs and doesn't even look at what's being discussed on First Take or FS1 or NFL Network or whatever they have on there when he gets there.
And fellas, it is official. According to Adam Schefter, the Colts are signing 44-year-old Philip Rivers to their practice squad. How is this going to work?
That is incredible, Brian.
Can 44-year-old Philip Rivers still play, Brian? This is insane.
I have no idea, but Steve Wyche from, I think, NFL Network had an interesting tweet that I read before I fell asleep last night at halftime of the Eagles-Chargers game that apparently something with Hall of Fame voting guidelines, his clock would reset if he returns to their active roster, but it doesn't if he's only on the practice squad. So, I mean, if you can only be elevated three times and there are four games left. So, I mean, something would have to give there, but maybe that means he's not going to play this week. And then he gets elevated for the last three. And then he does the Miles Jack, Eric Rowe, and never actually leaves the practice squad, but stays with them in the playoffs should they make it.
So Rivers could technically play three games, being called up from the practice squad, and still go into the Hall of Fame next year or whenever, and it wouldn't matter.
I think so. I think that is what Steve Wyche reported. So that is just one fascinating wrinkle to an obviously fascinating development. It's funny because how many times did like you or me or Joe or Pony or Mueller come on the station and say, Ben looks good. I think he could still play. Steelers, give him a call. And that is exactly what is going on with Indy and Phil Rivers.
And that is going to be a sight, man. It sounds like he will, unless he totally flops. He's going to be their starter.
26 modern era semifinalists right now for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He really could get into the Hall of Fame while playing in the NFL just a couple of months earlier.
This is Increnculent. For one night only, Wednesday, December 17th, our Odyssey Pittsburgh stations, The Fan, 100.1 FM, AM 1020 KDK, 100.7 The Star, WAMO 107.3, and Y108 will be flipping the turntables, turning Mike's Beer Bar into the biggest Christmas karaoke spot on the North Shore. Our hosts, local celebrities, take the mic for celebrity karaoke. No admission. Bring canned food donations to support North Hills Cares. Details at 93.7thefan.com. Partly cloudy today, high 34. AJ Burnett, low of Nick Bonino, 13. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Lager, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Another minute or two with the Mongoose. He did pipe up a little bit, Tomlin did. At least, you know, the tenor of the news conference got a little more interesting when he was asked about, I think Will Graves said, you know, taking bullets for the team. That's the way DK Metcalf put it after the game. And was it Ashley Liotis who followed up on that? Here's a little back and forth there, Brian.
Like, one of those bullets was at the Bills game, fans calling for your job. Did you feel like you were in the hot seat at all last week?
Man, I've been in the hot seat for 19 years.
Did you feel like you had something to prove to the fans at all?
I always feel like I got something to prove, not necessarily to anyone in particular, but that's just the spirit in which I go about what I do professionally.
Thoughts?
And then there was another follow-up about what he expects Monday night, which I thought was a good one. And
yeah,
he said he expects people to show up and, you know, basically be a good crowd, I guess. So, yeah, that's why I said when you first brought me on here that I thought the questions were better than sort of the run-of-the-mill Tomlin answers. He's said variants of these over the years. I think it was more so in years past after playoff debacles when we asked him about his job security, and he said he always feels like he's coaching for his job because that's the standard, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's a good way to handle these questions. As I said last week, you never have to worry about how Tomlin's going to respond to those types of questions. But in fairness, you could probably make the case that it's a lot easier to respond to those questions when you do feel like you have the utmost job security and your boss is on record as saying he only evaluates you and that he's glad you're his coach.
Anything else stand out injury-wise or talking about Minka a little bit? What do you got?
Roman Wilson was inactive because they needed that backup punt returner in Scotty Miller. Really covering all the bases there, I guess. If something would have happened to Calvin Austin III, they needed to make sure Scotty Miller was there to be the backup punt returner. No one else could have stood back there and called a fair catch. Roman couldn't have done it. Kenny Gainwell couldn't have done it. Adam Thielen couldn't have done it, despite his loads of professionalism, which was so evident in that game. So that was an indictment of Roman Wilson. It had to be taken that way, that he's in someone's doghouse, whether it's Tomlin's, Aaron's, Arthur Smith's, or some combination of the three. That's just not a good look. That is not good optics for the development of a third rounder in his second season.
Oh, there was one other thing, Brian. We're talking to Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette. Read his stuff at postgazette.com. I don't know if he was taking a shot at the Ravens here or not, but when he was asked about, you know, the likely play, some of the officiating, he's on the competition committee, thoughts, blah, blah, blah. He said, I've learned to move on. I moved on from Jesse James, for example. And then he said, you won't hear me calling New York for explanations and things of that nature. Well, guess who called New York yesterday, Brian? John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta. That's who, to get explanations and things of that nature. Shot or no shot?
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to think it was. Although, I guess, going off the Philip Rivers answer, Mike Tomlin has no idea that that happened. So maybe it was just pure coincidence. I'd have to go back and look to see if he's ever made a comment on a Tuesday about, you know, yeah, we sought clarification or whatever. Over 19 years, I feel like it's had to have happened at some point. But I agree with him that, yeah, you do move on. And, you know, if you're the Ravens, maybe you feel like the rule went against you. But, oh, here's the thing. Isaiah Likely, just protect the ball, you know, finish the play a little better. John Harbaugh did say that when he was asked about it. He said they don't teach that in those situations. And, you know, this other thing, I mean, people are crushing the refs for the call on Christian Kuntz, which probably was a bad call, contacting the snapper. And the narrative out there, not even just from Baltimore, but national people too, is the refs gave the Steelers a touchdown instead of a field goal. Last time I checked, they did not escort Gainwell into the end zone on the following play. The Ravens defense still could have stiffened up and gotten a stop there. So I hate complaining about the refs, whether it's from the Steelers side or the other team's side. I really do.
I like it. And
I know you do. We sometimes fight over that.
I know. I think we did last week. And now I've completely forgotten what I was going to ask you about next. There was the Likely play. There was Philip Rivers. There was the Rodgers play. Oh, there was Tomlin saying of the Phil Rivers thing, that's none of my business. I thought for sure that's what he would say all those weeks ago when he was asked about Joe Flacco, but that's not what he said, did he?
What if he would have been like, what, Flacco wasn't available? Andrew Berry didn't want to send him Flacco?
That would have been great. I mean, he says that about any time he's asked about like a league issue or a player on another team. But the fact that he piped up that day and ripped Andrew Berry was one of the all-time great Tomlin press conference moments. Was it not, Mongoose?
And they got to see Andrew Berry and his squad of rowdy Titans losers again in a few weeks. So, but this time with 100% more Shador and 100% less Dylan Gabriel, unless there's an injury. So that absolutely adds some intrigue to Steelers Browns. Not as good as if it would have been Steelers versus Kenny Pickett, but we'll see if Shador makes it seem like Andrew Berry is a lot smarter than me or us, if he can go out there and beat the Steelers in Cleveland.
30 seconds. Who would be the best opponent for the Steelers? In other words, the team you'd like to play the most because you feel you could win. The Bills, Jags, Texans, and who's the fourth one limits that's possible?
Chargers.
Yeah.
Probably the Jaguars. To be honest, I don't even know what's going on down in Jacksonville except they just win every week. I don't think I've watched a single snap of Jaguars football. I don't know if Trevor Lawrence is playing great or just getting a little lucky, but having them come up north and knowing that they've had a pretty weak schedule, I mean, they beat the Chiefs, they beat the Chargers, but I'd just go with Jacksonville. I don't know if I'm buying them with the Chargers a close second.
I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you, Mongoose.
Chargers killed the Steelers, but Justin Herbert seems to get destroyed every week, so maybe that would play into their hands. Thanks, guys. Goodbye.
See you, buddy.